Test.
I can see it's recording me.
Ew.
You can't handle this amount of testing.
Yeah.
I'm going to test you so hard.
I'm going to test all over you.
You will get wet. You may get drenched.
Bring a poncho.
Okay. Let's all take a minute here to fondle our microphones and get that all out of our system.
I think we're in smell.
It's kind of like new mic with me. I can smell some of me on there.
Mm.
Yeah, like your lip when you, musk. It's like a little like, bit, a little Reese's, a little.
Like it's like I'm rolling in a new leather car and I can smell myself in the new car.
Jaren's musk is notoriously powerful. The Jaren Monster's smell attack is legendary.
It's powerful. Yeah. You know when you have bad breath and you like sneeze into your mask and then it's just like in there with you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I dry those out and then sell them on.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, there is,
nice.
There is a market.
Weird. That's how we got the mixer, ladies and gentlemen.
Harlow Monsters OnlyFans.
I think we all know there's more than two monsters involved in this production.
And they don't just roll dice.
God, that's a lot of hair.
Sorry. I put some of it away.
Welcome to the podcast. We're best friends and we're also kind of brothers. But we're also monsters and we like to roll the dice. One of us is robot and the other one's an alien from outer space. Together we play the board games and love the human race. Because we're two monsters rolling dice. Two monsters rolling dice.
Two monsters rolling dice is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Hi, everybody. I'm the Harlow Monster.
I'm the Melissa Monster.
I am the Matthew Monster.
I am the Jaren Monster.
I am the Sabina Monster.
Yes, and here we are, ready to play some role-playing games. It is very exciting. I think what I want to do is take a minute here to do a little mechanical maintenance. There's very little of it in this game, so I think starting with this now is okay. But I would like to kind of read over these with everyone, the skills of the game. Just as a brief reminder, there are four main categories of skills. As we all know, Fate Core is more driven by cinematics, by narrative, by cooperative storytelling than it is by any mechanical machine. It's one of the reasons why we landed on it to do a podcast. There have to be some parameters, though. So I've broken them up into four different kinds of skills. They are attack skills, character skills, event skills, and location skills. The first two that belong to the characters are obviously character skills and attack skills. We'll start with attack skills because that's fun. These are the skills that you use to attack people. Fate Core is also interesting in that it differentiates between physical damage you can do to somebody and psychological damage, mental damage.
That's what we do to each other every day.
Right, yeah. This is the engine that fuels two monsters rolling dice, is antagonism. If you haven't picked that up yet, you will. Following are the various attacks you can make. You've got ego. This is a skill that is primarily used to make mental attacks against opponents. Ego is going to be your, mental attack, doing mental stress, insulting people, undermining their confidence in themselves, maneuvering you, maneuvering them, yada, yada, yada. This also determines your mental stress. So if you have this high enough, you'll get more mental stress. The next attack skill is explosives. It is using grenades and dynamite and setting time bombs and things. This is late 1800s technology, so there are explosives, but they're not quite as sophisticated as modern day one. We will defend with athletics. So it's sort of like physicality, sort of withstanding the blast. Now we've got guns. Guns are any kind of handheld thing, but also throwing weapons would be a kind of a catch-all. If you get a bow and arrow, it'll be a guns attack. If you pick up a rock and throw it, it will be a guns attack. So this is like all of your basic ranged attacks. You can attack up to one zone adjacent with these. Rifles are bigger things, including some of the early technology machinery guns that they have here. Those are able to attack much farther ranges, and that's sort of one of the reasons why I made it a different skill. You can also create advantages with rifles that you're not really able to. You've got scope stuff you can do. You can set up all kinds of environmental situations. And then you've got melee, and this is your hand-to-hand skill, wrestling, punching, fighting with knives, all that good stuff. Melee is going to just be opposed by melee. Those are the basic attack skills. In those combinations, you'll be able to make mental and physical attacks using different weapons.
Then we've got character skills. These are sort of all the other more mundane but trackable skills that aren't directly reliant on combat to function. We've got athletics. It's your toughness, your strength, jumping, run, and climbing. It's kind of a lot of things rolled into one just for the ease of it. It's your ability to be beefy. So it's like strength, it's like endurance. You know, gonna set your hit points, it's going to set your ability to run. It's a big skill and useful if you think your character is going to be physical in any way. Awareness is your ability to like know your surroundings, both in eyes and ears, but also in people. So this is kind of another broader skill where it's sort of your awareness of everything. It's your awareness of your surroundings. It's your awareness of people's emotional states. Are they lying? Give me an awareness check. Do you see it? Give me an awareness check. Do you feel this weird vibe in the air? Give me an awareness check. The next skill is bravery. This acts as your character's mental fortitude, and it's used as a defense against fear-based mental attacks, and it will also be a willpower save against certain effects that are generated, and you can also use it to create aspects based on being brave and standing up. You can also use this, it has a special attack that you can make called taunt, where you can make a bravery check, and then they are compelled to attack you. So you can draw them using this skill, and also it is worth noting that some NPCs will be immune to taunting. Craftsman skill is a general building, repairing, creating things from scratch, another broad category. So anything that you want to build or repair, you might think about ranking craftsman. Finance is a big one. So we're not tracking money. This is your character's wealth. This determines your stress. There are a couple of extra rules about this. You can't just kind of level it up. There has to be some sort of in-game reason for it to level or change on your pyramid.
It's really good for me.
I know.
It's really good for me.
Well, again, the Old West was a huge struggle in class, like warfare. And so people who were poor were like forced to stay poor and forced to work so that other people
could. I don't know if that just sticks to the Old West.
Not like today at all. Am I right?
Right. Yeah, I know.
I'm happy we solved that.
It's cool. It was weird that fate so easily converted to like a really predatory capitalist system. I'm not saying it won't be able to change. I'm just saying you'll have to have in-game evidence to
Right. We just have to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps.
Yeah. And kind of like, defense, yeah. Also, financial stress and financial consequences don't just heal out of hand like most stress and consequences do. Because that kind of debt doesn't go away.
I was hoping the hotel would just forget.
They could have. That was in the roll, though, you know? If you beat their roll, then you just give them money and you don't mark stress. You just have the money to pay for it. Okay, so the next skill is hope. It is your character's ability to see the positive side of things. Hope could also be construed as a faith skill, because this is like belief in something bigger than you that is positive. This skill is used primarily mechanically to heal mental consequences. You can give them hope to get over the shit they're dealing with. Pharmaceuticals aren't at the point where the medicine skill can be used to treat somebody's phobias and stuff. It's just not there. You can also create aspects using this skill. And in some cases also, it'll be like used as a defense against certain mental attacks, like despair-based attacks or things like that. The next skill is knowledge. There's a basic sort of intelligence check, a cognizant awareness of things, history, exposition. It's just gonna track your—
Useless, move on.
Yep. The luck skill is, I think, one of our best additions to this game. I love luck. Like, in every way, I loved it in Fallout, I loved it in your campaign, and I will love it in this one. It is the random encounter check. It is the loot generation check. It is the, do they have this in stock check? It is the, do I have this insanely ridiculous player request? Do they have that here?
Oh, yeah, like rope?
Yeah, like rope.
Imagine
shortage.
A town having rope. You totally need luck for that to happen, huh, Harlow?
In a Western, nonetheless.
To have a salvage-based trade yard have a specific good in stock at a specific time does seem like a matter of luck. Thank you. I stand by the decision. And now there's a new aspect to play in the Uncanny Valley. The rope
God
shortage continues.
Damn it. For
yeah,
context,
exactly.
The first Fate game that I played with Harlow DMing, I wanted to get some rope in town and he made me make a luck check and I got like a -4. And then it was months and months of every town we went to, me making a luck check, there being no rope.
It's the great rope shortage of 2258.
I'm glad that this time I'm playing with a -2 to my luck.
It'll be a lot better. It's gonna make things wacky. And most people do have pretty bad luck in this group, it seems like, just because based on your—
Talk about our characters or?
Yeah.
Sure. We'll start there. That's gonna be interesting.
It's art imitating life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, just everyone's build was sort of focused on other things. Next is medicine. It's your character's ability to wield and understand both biology of the various races of Palmyra. This skill is also used primarily to heal physical stress and consequences, but also medical procedures of all kinds. It'll also be used to do research, administer dosages, create certain kinds of treatments, or setting a splint in a specifically exceptional way. Performance is a skill used to measure your character's ability to perform in every way. Now, this is not like social performances like you so desperately want to be, Mel. Because there's another skill for that. But this is literal performance of art or of works of other people's or your own, but standing on a stage and performing something. So singing, dancing, painting, but also like doing plays, reading and writing poetry, comedy routines, all that junk. So you can use it to make money, find work, create advantages, all that stuff. Personality is the next skill. What?
That's just a good, that's just a funny skill.
Personality. Well, it is.
I mean, I feel like you can always notice when someone is lacking that skill, I feel.
Do you feel like Harlow looked at me when he said personality?
You know, like when somebody really practices hard to put together like a front-facing personality. You know what I mean, Sabina? Do you know? No. It's your force of personality. It's maybe not as important to think of this as a skill, but some people have great personalities and some people have average ones and some people have quite terrible ones, and this is just a fact. So, yes, personality. Its primary use is going to be social interactions, to butter people up, to charm them, to lie to them successfully, to manipulate them, to convince them of things, to interact positively and negatively. Also, you can use it as a defense against mental attacks, because your skillful personality can shrug them off in a practiced maneuver.
Why did you look at me when you said skillful personality?
Sorry. The next skill is reflexes. It is your overall agility and your speed. It will act as a default defense against ranged attacks as well, sort of your like hit the deck skill. But it is also initiative and your ability to run fast, be nimble, and coordinate. I also have a ride skill here. It is
nice.
Your ability to maneuver a mount of any kind. I love that. All five of us went there.
Of course.
We don't script this, people. You also use ride skill to pilot vehicles, wagons, other sort of things. Ships, probably. Sure, why not? Whatever. Not that anybody has mutinied and taken control of a sailing ship yet, but I just want to be prepared.
But like I
any other
yet?
Things we can pilot that you want to add to the list?
Giant eagles, mounts of various kinds, like your mounts, cars. There's horseless automated carriages.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right.
That was all.
Is that not performance? Have I been doing this wrong?
Rope checks. Let's keep this going. Your ability to tie people up and give them a ride. Uh-huh. No, this does affect your ability to... I'm getting all flustered. This is your skill that measures and tracks your character's ability to handle ropes, be it to tie knots of different kinds or to create aspects with a lariat or lasso as well. There's a caveat that goes along with this. While you cannot make stress-based attacks with a rope, but a regular rope is used to create advantages almost exclusively. However, many of the advantages you create with rope will wind up doing damage every turn. If you hang someone, or if you drag them, or if you tie them up and leave them in the sun, they're gonna take damage.
Rope burns.
It could be positives.
Yeah. Some people like rope burns.
Yeah, some people like to be tied.
Some people.
Yeah, I'm not going to name any people, but...
Nobody here.
Nobody. No. I mean, certainly weird. Not.
Don't look at my arm. The next skill is stealth. It's maybe not as straightforward as you might think. Dun, dun, dun. It's a broader umbrella. Stealth is basically all of the clandestine skills in one. It's sneaking, but it's also lockpicking and pickpocketing and all kinds of that subterfuge. Fraud and counterfeiting would fall into this in most cases. So stealth might be the wrong word for it, but it's just sort of the skullduggery skill. And then last is... let me step up the plate and take a few practice swings, because this is the hardest word in the English language for me. Trailcraft. Yes, nailed it. This is another sort of umbrella skill.
It will be used to identify, cover, and follow tracks. Trail craft is used as a general check for overland travel knowledge. It's going to be used to forage, to hunt, to fight, to fly, to crow, living off the land, predicting weather, finding true north. Don't eat that moss. Use that moss to wipe with. All the moss stuff.
It's like actually 90% moss checks.
All the moss stuff.
So I do a moss check.
So, those are the player skills.
Now on to the piggy skill.
Sorry.
We interrupt our regularly scheduled program to bring you this breaking news announcement. Now in beautiful, stereoscopic color. Hey everyone, we upgraded, can you tell? We're in stereoscopic color now. I don't know what that means, but it looks and sounds crisp.
It's for the synesthesiacs out there. You're gonna get high just by listening to our voices.
Yeah, you're welcome everybody. First things first, if everybody can't tell, our solo missions are done and we have reconvened as an important news team once again. Woohoo!
Thank God.
It's good to be back in the studio, Harlow.
Indeed.
Harlow and I are changed people after our experiences recording solo announcements.
Yeah, I'm going to write a book about my time on the inside of Announcos.
And as per usual, I did nothing.
Everyone was so proud, Jaren.
Upholding that standard.
Well, first things first, now that we have your attention, thank you everybody for still listening to our silly podcast. It's great to be back in person looking at all of your silly mugs once again. I had a baby, but that's all done now, so we're back.
I survived COVID.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks.
I survived Prozac.
Yeah, arguably the roughest one of all.
Boy, it was not good, let me tell you.
But what we have not needed to survive is you, our listeners, being here for us in these trying times. Even when we've gone bi-weekly, you've shown up and listened, and it's gotten us through some pretty hard days, and you think I'm joking, but I'm not. Thank you all so much. And also, my baby said thank you. So
wow.
She's pretty advanced. I told you that part of it was over. Now she's like starting to contribute around the house.
Is this like a Twilight situation? Is she like already like...
No. A grown man did not imprint on her. No.
I didn't mean that part.
Okay. So we have a couple more weeks of going bi-weekly. A couple more episode releases of bi-weekly release. We have a couple more episodes that are on a bi-weekly release schedule. This is May 31st. We've got an episode coming out June 14th and June 28th. But after that, we are back on the weekly grind, baby! Just in time for things to really start heating up, too. So, don't forget to tune in there, and yeah.
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 So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, I'm gonna be gone for vacation coming up, guys.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that. You're actually going to have to carve out a good amount of your vacation to do some remote recording. Anyways, one other place you can find us is on the interweb tube called twomonstersrollingdice.com. There lives the headquarters of all of our dealings and dallyings, our drippings and snarlings,
desires.
Our desires, sure, and anything else you might imagine. World lore, some fun stories, information on our characters and campaigns, some news about what's coming in the future. Take a peek there. Dig around under the hood. Check out that dipstick. Pretty fucking wet, right? All right. So, cool. Great talk, everyone. Now, there's more things that we can talk about, though. How about that? What if we go ahead and get... Is this a catapult? I'll just sit in this bucket here. Oh, lever right next to it. I'll just pull it. Whoa! Splat. Now I've landed over in social media town. Hi, Sabina. You live here. Aren't you guys glad we're all back together?
I'm not going to participate in this bit.
Business as usual, it's just so like I promised our listeners.
So much easier doing announcements with other people where you can make fun of their jokes instead of being by yourself.
Feels good to be back, everyone.
Yeah. Welcome to Social Media Town. Population. I don't know. How many followers do we have?
We'll say 10,000.
10,000. Our reach, immeasurable.
Infinite.
Yep. I actually just heard on the ISS they are listening to TMRT.
As always, if you want to check us out on social media, we post updates and sometimes jokes, and lots of thank yous for everybody who gets at us with their very, very kind words at @dice_monsters on Twitter or on Facebook under 2 Monsters Rolling Dice. Instead of doing our normal social media blasts, we thought we would have a little TMRD annual friends and family company blast and give some shout outs to those who are closest to us IRL.
You know, Matt, you get a little stink eye there. Our annual family and friend blast? You know, that we do?
Yeah, it's a picnic.
You surely remember that,
yeah.
Matthew.
I don't understand.
It's the company picnic, Matthew.
I'll kick off our friends and family blast by blasting my one and only spouse and partner, Cameron. I love them so much. They're so supportive of me always. And they are a big fan of the show, which is important to me. All right, someone else go. I know you guys have friends and family.
I would also like to thank my sister and her husband for always supporting and listening to the podcast, even though she sent me a text that said, and I quote, "What the hell, 2-week release schedule?"
Yeah, we got a lot of those. Harlow had a baby, man.
It hurt my tummy. And I would like to give a shout out to my partner, Alice, and my new baby, Ursula.
Aww.
They are both so amazing and filling my life with so much love and dirty diapers. And I just can't get enough of either of those things. Oops.
Both love.
Just the love.
I actually did want to give a shout out to Matt, my coworker, who is also my Shadowrun DM. He has his own podcast called Fuck.
Cool.
Hold on.
Kind of what it sounds like? Because it sounds sexy.
I'm into this.
Yeah.
All right. Let me try that again. He has his own podcast called Inside the GM Studio, where he talks about different GMing tips and tricks and experiences. And it's pretty cool. Check it out.
Awesome.
The rest of my family doesn't listen to the podcast, and all of my friends are involved with it. So I'm done.
Cool.
Make up a friend, Jaren.
My friend Jeffrey told me that he loves the podcast and listens to it every week. And he even leaves me printed out memes at work from stuff that he enjoys from the podcast.
Aw, sounds real.
I don't know if that's real, but I like it either way. That's very cute. All right, this concludes
There's the fireworks.
Company friends and family blast.
You know what that means.
Please do not forget your t-shirts on your way out. They are at the picnic table by the parking lot.
Jaren, what does it say on our t-shirts this year?
This year's t-shirt says, as usual, the best way to support our podcast is by liking, subscribing, and reviewing us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wow, that's a weird thing to put on a t-shirt, but I guess that's what we got.
The printer said it barely fit.
Cool. I guess that's what you get when you sign off on proofs you didn't really look over.
Yep, and there's definitely a printer that I talked to, the person.
Yeah, he lives in Canada with
He's
Jeffrey.
Real. Yeah. I also want to give a quick shout out to Grant Nordine on Good Pods. He put together a playlist called The Best Podcasts for Actual Play Fans Who Want Something New and Exciting to Listen to. It is a fantastic list. Definitely check it out if you like our stuff. There's a lot of other great actual plays on there, including us.
Hell yeah.
Thanks
Grant.
Good
Pod. Yeah. Good Pods.
Hire us, Good Pods.
And make sure to tune in later tonight for the WTMRD Evening News. That's it. You should do it. We have a new sponsor. Oh, I'm sorry, did you expect a laugh here? Like I'm some sort of a clown. Here's some news for you. Life is not always funny.
We've done it. We've reached the heart of the jungle. Now to claim our... You okay, man?
I will be.
All right, well, as I was saying, look, we found it! The 1,000-year egg. Where is it? What? The egg. Where's the egg? No, that's not for us to find.
Excuse me?
Yeah, this is the Game Master Monday live stream of the 1,000-year egg. We cut through a jungle planet, fended off horrible beasts, and watched other adventurers perish before our eyes, just so we could watch a Twitch stream? Well, not just any Twitch stream. This one is starring Sabina from Two Monsters Rolling Dice and Mary from Lizards and Locations. And they're playing Lasers and Feelings. That does actually sound nice. Is it cool if I sit down? It sure is. Better get comfy because the stream is on May 30th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/GameMasterMonday. Oh my god. Would you like some trail mix? No, I would not like some trail mix!
And now we return to our regularly scheduled program, already in progress.
Whew. Okay, it's time to give birth to this podcast. All right, and my creative cervix has bloomed. And now we have location skills. The next ones are the skills that I'm going to be wielding, unless you wind up in command of a location, like your character, Adelie Dufresne, who actually has access to some of these location skills herself because of her bossiness of the Uncanniest Valley.
Yeah, we all know the golden rule of fate. I mean, obviously. Like, if I pointed at any of you, you could say what it was. I'll just arbitrarily be the one who says what it is.
Think about what you want to do, and then we figure out what the rules are to make that happen.
So instead of saying, I think I'm going to try and do this check to achieve this, we should say, I want my character to achieve this. And then we'll figure out what skill works best to do that.
It's also a pretty good rule for life. Just saying.
Plot the destination, then figure out how to get there.
Where's our self-help, fate-based podcast? When's that coming out?
Two monsters helping dice.
We'll workshop that.
Yeah, it's not great. And the silver rule, obviously, everyone knows too. So I'll just arbitrarily be, if I pick the name out of a hat, Harlem Monster, I'll just say what it is then, because I know all you guys already know that one too. It's like boring to like ask you guys what it is. And it's that if the rules that we have landed on don't actually narratively make sense to a situation, then we have done wrong and the rules should be broken. Basically, the gold and the silver rule just serve to enforce narrative cinematics first. It's a big difference from D&D. The bronze rule of fate, everyone's most familiar with, probably. So I don't even need to say what it is.
You know, our listeners don't know.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's a good point.
He doesn't remember it.
Nope, I totally do. And it's that everything in the game is treated, or can be treated, or should be treated, like a character. And has a character sheet, and has aspects. Some of them have stunts, some of them have skills. You go to a place, oh look, it's a character sheet. You know, there could be a storm that comes to town, and the storm could have a character sheet because it has skills and it makes attacks against you, and it has an aspect because it's a big rumbling storm and it's got scary lightning. That is the bronze rule of fate. Everything is a character. And so because of that, I have location skills. So places you go to will have these skills, and they're going to interact with kind of how you can interface with the business, so we don't have to spend too much time creating an economy and just let the businesses do that themselves. The first skill, and probably most important for dealing with shops, is resources. It's a skill that measures the wealth an establishment has. It determines their financial stress. It's also like the amount of goods and the quality of the goods that they have for sale. The next skill is luxury. It's kind of a fanciness meter. It's not necessarily the money on hand that they have, but it's how they've used the money to create comfortable, luxurious, unnecessary amenities and environments. Mm. Then you've got influence, which is kind of like a social skill the business can use to sort of have sway over the community or social events or sort of the power it has in a neighborhood or this or that. Sort of its presence on the scene is influence. Kind of like a personality check, but for the business. So it can be used to charm people or used to keep people away or biggity schmiggity blabbity blip. Staffing is the physical manpower of a place, used to set scale for their operations. Bigger places will have more staff, or they might be severely understaffed, and it affects the way that they can function. So this skill not only determines the size of the workforce, but the skill and their morale as well. And businesses, they have physical stress, but they also, instead of having mental stress, they have morale stress. This is like how much the staff cares about being there. Then you've got danger and safety, which are like an attack and a defense skill that the business has. Danger is like how dangerous it actually is to be there. This is the Old West. So like if you go to an iron forgery, you could lose a body part at any minute because there's like red hot things being swung around and there's no safety precautions being taken by anybody. Like the Industrial Revolution has just begun and being crushed by a hydraulic press is kind of how they do things. People die when they're like, we're going to build a railroad, and only 67 people died. And they're like, that's pretty good.
So danger is that, but it also could be used to make like your staff's attacks. Like you could have security and that could be a part of the danger score too. So it's like the building could actually make attacks. And safety is the exact opposite. It's a staff that represents like a security force that's keeping you safe, but also it could be like how well the building is constructed. So that determines its physical stress.
Mode of crocodiles.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. A mode of crocodiles would give it a safety score of, I'd say, at least +3.
Yeah.
Now you're getting it. These other ones are a little bit more nebulous and they're not as attached to anything. And these are the event skills. These are ones that I'm basically going to have, but not like exclusively, but I'll have these extra skills kind of. And they're things like nature, which is the various power of the environment. Like if it floods, how windy it is, how hot it gets, how cold it gets at night, all those things. Like how dangerous the general wildlife is or the terrain is, all of that. Survival needs, a skill that sets the bar for your bodily needs as you're traveling. So like all of these things are going to be covered, like starving, dehydration, the need for supplies and things to cross over an area of Khan will be set by that area's survival needs skill. And it will be used to make attacks against you guys as you travel overland if you are not prepared. Like it says, this skill will only be used if you're not prepared. If you enter a zone and you have aspects that are like supplies or something and that they total, like you just have supplies +3 and the survival needs of an area is 2, then you can just be there and you don't need extra shit. You've brought the right supplies you need. If you come to a place unprepared, then survival needs will start making attacks against you and you'll be like straining to live there. You'll be like running out of water. It'll be too hot and you don't have the right clothes or something like that. So you're slowly taking some damage as you're traveling. You have trampled also, which is going to basically be like physics, crushing damage, falling, stampeding, all that kind of stuff. Various forms of being caved in, blah, 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 blah. You've got poison damage then. Also, poison and trample are both fairly physical types of damage that just sort of typify certain things that didn't seem to be covered in other skills that I had. So that's where those exist. There'll be aspects based on both of those. There'll be damage done to you guys. Sometimes they'll be blocked by athletics. Sometimes they'll be blocked by other skills, usually athletics in both of those cases. The last skill here, I kind of skipped it in order, but I wanted to come to it last, is a skill I'm going to use and already have a couple of times, is disbelief. And the Uncanny Valley is a strange and wondrous place, and everyone can feel it. As everybody has already encountered, there is a strange feeling in the air everywhere just being on the island. This skill is used to make mental attacks and create basically detrimental aspects pertaining to the character's ability to deal with the oddities that they come across. Some of them might challenge your grip on reality. Some of them might just be strange things that you're not even sure you saw right. But all of them are going to come down to sort of how you withstand some of the stranger things that happen on this island. Those are the skills of the game. Do you guys have any questions or anything funny or interesting to add?
I have no comment.
I have to pee.
This is cool. No, this is great. I love you guys. So, moving on.
I feel no strong emotion either way.
Excellent. Good. This is the heat I wanted to bring to this. So, do we need breaks? Do we need to like get situated before we actually start playing? Yeah, I don't think that's an in.
Jared and I spent the pee break gossiping.
Yeah.
Now we both have to pee.
All right, well, I'm going to spend the pee break then smoking. Because I'm a cool kid. Look to the eastern sky.
I'm leaving.
You will find me there.
You're now leaving podcast. Did you like it? Do you think we're pretty great? Remember to like and smash subscribe. Don't forget to rate. I admit it wasn't very funny and actually not that very good. But hey, buddy, get off our back. We did the best we could. Cause we're two monsters. Ruin Dice. Two Monsters Ruin Dice.
Two Monsters Rolling Dice is filmed in front of a live studio audience.